Hello, everybody, and welcome into another episode of the Comics Experience Make Comics Podcast, the show where we talk about the nuts and bolts of making comics. I'm Joey Groh. It's almost the end of the year. He's Andy Schmidt, and today we're talking about productivity. Andy, 2020. Yeah. 2020, yep. I almost feel like people get a pass in a lot of ways, should get a pass. It's something we've talked about privately on the phone as well as on the show with other people, and you see it a lot. Not every day you're feeling very productive for extracurricular work or even work that you're getting paid for, or maybe, you know, parenting, being a spouse, being a partner. It's been an odd ebb and flow, but I think, you know, when you said let's talk about productivity and time management, I think those are always good topics to touch on, especially now, especially related to comics and making comics. I think, you know, it's interesting to see your evolution over the years from, you know, the different work that you've done for publishers and work for hire, and then moving into the arena that you're in now, you know, including the educational component, but also the publishing side. You know, there's so many things to do, and on top of that, you know, we talked about ONS printing, the printing side, and just all the different things that you can, you know, find your time and attention going to, and kind of figuring out, like, even just at a micro level, what should I be doing today? And I think that leads to a lot of general paralysis in any creative endeavor, is I can't get started because it won't be great, or I don't know where to get started. And then, you know, a year later, you're still at that point. And, you know, a hard lesson for me is the do what you have time to do, and don't bite off more than you can chew. And I learned that lesson in comics by biting off more than I can chew the first big project I tried to do, which was a great learning opportunity. But, you know, at the time, I didn't appreciate it, but I certainly do now.
It's hard to appreciate that at the time.
In the moment, it's difficult. But what was?
But everybody does do that. Everybody does that.
And as
time they do like a creator-owned thing, everybody bites off more than they can chew.
As you should.
And everybody goes, oh, that was terrible. It was a terrible experience, but I learned so much more. And then, you know, often the second or third project actually works.
Well, I don't know that that's what you were thinking about when you were talking about time management and productivity, but what was your approach? What were you thinking about?
Oh, my thought is in years past, we've talked about this, right? We've talked about strategies, how to set your calendar, you know, getting up early, the importance of exercise. All those things are true. But this year, I can sum it up in one word, my friend, which is delegate everything. Delegate everything. Well, so here's the thing. 2020, can suck it. It was awful. Obviously, worldwide, it was awful. And, you know, we've talked a lot about, you know, the industry. You know, Philip and I were on here, you know, talking about how it, like, has affected us and all this sort of stuff. But, like, so first of all, fortunately, I have had many good friends get COVID and get very sick, but I have not had any fatalities, I am happy to say. I have had some folks in my family, though not my immediate family that I live with in this house, get it. So I still consider myself, you know, lucky that it has not fully intruded the way it has with other people. But the ways that it has intruded is the ways it's intruded on a whole lot of people. I have two kids in school. They now hang out in my house
right
every day. My wife also worked outside of the house, and now she does not. She is also in my house every day. And those are my three favorite people, but it does make getting stuff done difficult if you got to go help somebody with some homework or check in on them or whatever.
Let's say you're recording a podcast at 9:30 at night for the reasons that you have to get your child to go to sleep after she's at home with you all day.
Right. Yeah, there's that.
There's those hypothetically.
Yeah, hypothetically, that could happen. So one of the things that had that happened for us, and this actually wound up working to our advantage, I will admit, is that when my wife left her job, she left because she did not feel that it was safe enough. And also, like, you know, and she was going to be exposed to a lot of people, a lot of kids
Right.
from different families. She worked in a school. And you know, if she brought that home and I got sick and laid up for weeks, you know, I don't get unemployment. There's nobody else that takes over my job. Like, just the money just stops coming in for the family. And that's just getting sick, you know, not even like, you know, if I were to pass away, which hopefully wouldn't happen either. But so we did that math, and you know, we get health insurance through her. We get income through her also. So that was a tough decision to make, right? Like, oh, in order to avoid getting the plague, we're going to have you quit the job that gives us the health insurance if we get the plague that we're
Right.
going to need. That was not a fun decision to make. We made that decision together, and at the time, ONS printing was really kind of was growing and coming back strong, and we were picking up a bunch of new clients,
Wow.
happy to say, which is nice, and had some fairly large projects coming in. So she actually started working for the printing company, and she is left-brained, and I am right-brained, and printing is a lot of left-brained stuff. Right, it's a lot of logistics. It's a lot of, you know, it's a lot of just make, you know, detail work and being very, 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 very organized. And that is her wheelhouse. And for a right brain person, I'm quite organized, but you know, she's got me beat for sure. So she actually very quickly learned the business, very quickly learned how to improve the way that we were working on it. And so she's been a tremendous help, which helped free up some time. So if you have a wife or a husband or a significant other that you can rope into doing half your job, I highly recommend it.
Yeah. That
She's
seems to
been
work very well for you.
yeah, she's been amazing. And ONS is and ONS is just has just is just growing right now because people are coming in, and she's so easy to work with. And you know, I'm still involved because a lot of times people come in, they want to talk with me because they know who I am, or they at least know my reputation. And you know, if you're like talking about a project, like what it might be, then yeah, let's you know, then we have a conversation about, well, here are the different things we can do with the printing, and we can do this, and you know, whatever. And I'm great for that, and obviously I've got relationships, but anybody that I've had a relationship with for years that's come across my wife is like, she's pretty great. To which I simply agree. But the fact of the matter is, my freelance writing career, you know, especially in comics, actually has sped up. You know, and I've had additional work outside of comics this year that I wasn't really planning on. And so I found myself in the situation relatively often where I had more than I could chew in a day. And so I developed some new techniques, which is why we're here. Totally long-winded way to get to this. Sorry about that. I will go back to the things we've talked about before in case anybody's a newer listener, because it was like 100 episodes ago we talked about this. The key to being efficient in your creative endeavors is exercise. That is the most important thing. To getting more, you will get more work done if you spend an hour, 45 minutes a day, whatever it is, exercising. Because two reasons. One is you'll have more energy. You'll be able to do it and be better. What the work that you're producing will be better. Because you've got more energy and your mind just is working at a higher level for longer. The second reason, and this gets really discounted, when you do certain tasks, I think we may have talked about this some on the podcast before too. When you there are certain tasks you do, primarily physical ones, right? Where your brain is engaged and your body is engaged. But what your brain does is it's not, you know, you're not thinking story, you're not breaking something really complicated down. Your brain automatically switches gears, and in the back of your head, you're working on things.
Right.
This is why so many people talk about being in the shower. They have their best ideas.
Right.
Right? Because your brain's like, oh, yeah, I got to grab the soap. It's time to wash my hair. But really, in the back, it's working on all those things that are nagging at you, that are not quite finished. It's working those things out. That happens when you're exercising too, and this happens to me all the time. If I'm running on my elliptical or doing the the rowing thing at the gym, whatever it is, that's when most of the story works gets worked out. And then when I get back to the computer to write or to do some consulting work or to whatever, it just goes. Right, which isn't to say that it's a perfect draft that gets spat out at warp speed, but it goes much faster because it's all worked out. At that point, it's more or less just typing.
Right.
So again, exercise is absolutely, I think, the biggest thing, the easiest biggest thing you can do to make the biggest impact if you're not doing it already. If you're already exercising, you get more efficient. Another thing I highly recommend is make a list of your goals, like your priorities. Your priorities, you know, you can do it for the year, you can do it for a quarter, 3 months, 1 month, whatever, however you want to break it down. And list your priorities. And then also list like sort of your daily priorities as well. Like, you know, I mean, most of us eat 2-3 meals a day.
Sure.
You know, you know, there are priorities that are going to happen, right? Please bathe often. you go to a comic convention. But one of the things that I find every time I do this is I'll get clarity, right? Because
right.
I will put things at the top of the list, and then I'll wind up with 5 things at the top of the list, and then I start to realize clearly they all can't be number one. And then I'll start to realize that 1 or 2 of them may not even be in the top 5.
Right.
They may not even be in the top 10 when I really get to it. And then I know, like, you know what? I probably need to back off on this. This happened to me the other day. I made a list of what are my priorities for 2021. And I was like, there's too much. I can't do all of those things and still be a husband, a father, and, you know, do the work I'm trying to do in the community.
Right.
And all that kind of stuff. And so I just decided I wasn't going to pursue 2 of those things in 2020.
You know, it's funny because, you know, I don't know if you've ever done a demographic breakdown of listeners that we've never really done that kind of call, or maybe you know it more for folks entering comics. But I feel like some of these lessons are things that I learned later in life. And,
yeah,
you know, it's a matter of figuring out, like, what is the exercise that appeals to you or work for you? What are the things that are really your priorities? And I think, you know, when you're a bit younger, you might have lots of different goals, which I think you should always have lots of goals and lots of interests and cultivate that as much as you can. But, you know, and this is from two married guys who, you know, have sort of different put together careers, your bandwidth changes and your priorities change. I just want to kind of throw that out there, you know, for folks listening, that it can take a while to find, you know, what is the exercise I like? Why, you know, I don't like biking, or I love biking, or, hey, walking is great. Walking is the perfect way to problem solve.
You run, right?
Yes.
Yeah. That's your jam.
Yes. I run and some amount of cross training.
Yeah. I have fairly severe gout. For those of you that don't know, gout is terrible. It's very, very painful. It's like having like hyper bad arthritis. But fortunately, for limited spurts, and the way it's caused is there's this buildup of uric acid. Everybody has uric acid in them. People that get gout, it just builds up. It's like you process through it, and your body just doesn't process through it fast enough if you're getting gout. And there are things you can do, affect your diet, blah, blah, blah. I have it really bad. Like, my body's like, bring on the uric acid. I was getting gout like in my early teens. Most people don't get it till they're in their like 60s or 70s.
Wow.
And it took us a long time to diagnose and figure out what it was. At one point, I had completely overhauled my diet. This is actually this is part of my learning process of how exercise and diet is such a big deal. I completely overhauled my diet. I was 100% vegetarian. And non-dairy, so it's still not vegan, I mean, fish either. I forget. So I forget what that's called. There's a term for that. There's a term for all the different, you know, levels of that sort of thing.
Sure.
Vegetarian, no dairy, no fish. So that was my diet. I was 100% that way. And then, and I was exercising every day for, alternating between 60 minutes and 90 minutes. And all of that was to reduce the amount of uric acid I was intaking, because there's the least amount you get is from vegetables.
Sure.
And you know, the more exercise you do, the more you process out of it. And what I was able to do was space out my gout attacks. So I was getting them about every 4 months or 3 months, and I spaced it out to about every 7 months.
Wow.
Completely changed my life in order to space them out by like I have half as many gout attacks. So eventually, and all of that is because I hate taking medication. That was my primary motivation. It wasn't to stop the pain. It was I hate taking medication. Eventually, we just realized like you're gonna have to take medication. And so anyway, all of that was this huge learning experience, because what it did, this like side effect of going through all of that, was realizing what other benefits changing my diet and exercising that much did.
Right.
And it was really life changing. And I don't exercise that much anymore. And I do eat food. In fact, I've really got into grilling out on a grill. Super fun. I've been learning that for the last several months. But you know, all things within moderation. But and with my pill that I have to take every day. But it is fascinating, and I didn't learn that stuff until I was adult.
Sure.
And I also remember this other like huge life changing event when it came to time management was my wife and I were living in a one bedroom apartment in New York City. I was working at Marvel, and we found out we were gonna be becoming parents. And I struggled with that a lot. And I remember talking. I have two older brothers, one of whom at the time had a child already. I remember talking to him on the phone one night and just being like, you know, hey, like, I feel really like crappy about this, but like, I'm upset that like, I feel in some ways like my life is over, right? I'm not gonna be able to hang out with my friends anymore. I'm not gonna be able to go see movies when I want. You know, it was just like all that stuff. And you know, it's you know, the world's tiniest violin, you know. And I was honestly, I was not that excited about becoming a father. Now I feel bad saying that now, because my son is like my best friend and we hang out all the time and I love him. But at the time, like that was not, I wasn't ready for that. I didn't feel like that was what I wanted to happen right then. But I remember being like I'm going to lose all these things that I love and I don't want to lose. And I was talking to my brother and he was like, no, that's false.
Right.
He was like, you will do less of all of those things. Right. You will spend less time in your week doing all of those things. But what happens is you become much more selective about how you spend that time. You know, instead of going and seeing three movies that week, you'll see one movie, but you're going to choose the movie you think is going to be the best one. Right. And it was like, you know, the clouds parted and the sun was shining again, because I realized like this is not a binary proposition, right? And so little in life really is a binary proposition.
I think it also lets, you know, in a lot of ways, it helps you overcome that analysis paralysis. And like you said, if you're seeing three movies, there's nothing wrong with that, but it cuts down on, hey, maybe you just wanted to see that one thing. And, you know, as much as having a kid and a job, you know, whatever's in your life, it takes time and attention, but it makes you realize what you have with those 1 or 2 hours. And I'm sure we could cite, you know, many different examples of folks in comics that comics is their side hustle, or they have, right, you know, other passions that are their full-time jobs, as well as, you know, relationships and family that they make time and make it go. And, you know, not everybody is going to have, you know, the career of the most prolific artist or the writer that has 6 titles and all that and juggles. And,
right,
you know, I'm sure you've got insight into how those folks, you know, function too. But yeah, it, it's amazing the time that I blew before being a parent, and thought that, oh, I'm super productive. I run my own company. Look at all these things. I'm very creative. I'm a husband. Blah, blah, blah. And then you have a kid, and you're like, oh my gosh, what was I doing with all that free time?
My wife and I joke about how we're both college graduates, and we joke about how like we were in college and we were so busy, like we didn't get up till noon. We had to go to class like 5 times a week, and and but we had a lot of beer that needed drinking. I mean, that was, and you look back on, you were like at, you look back on it for a lot of folks, and they're like, I was so busy, I don't know how, I didn't have any free time. And I look back at that now, and I was like, I had nothing but freaking free time, compared to how my life is now. But I'll say this too, I like my life now more than I liked my life then. And I wouldn't have been able to predict that at the time, right? But I like being busy. I like having plenty of work to do. I like being a dad. I like being a part of a partnership in the house and everything. And I dig it. This is, I think, who I was meant to be. But going back to what I was saying about you making a list of your priorities and realizing that some of your priorities may not actually be your real priorities. Like part of what you have to do is process what those are. But then once you've got like, here are the things that I want to be spending time on each week or month or whatever it is, right? However you break up the time period. Then you make the list, like you follow yourself for like a week or two, right? Where you are just, you're cataloging your day, like to the minute. If you can, right? What are you actually spending your time on all day long? How much time are you on Facebook? How much time are you on Twitter? How much time are you spending watching TV that you don't really like? It's just on, right? How much time are you doing all those things? And it will astonish you how much time you are spending doing things that you would rather be doing something else doing, but you're not thinking about what you'd rather be doing at that time. Right. And so this is not something that you do once and then that's it, because these things creep back into your life in one form or another. Right. So, like in the last year or two, I've added two fairly significant hobbies, which is to say that they take up probably several hours a week. At the same time, I've gotten busier at work. I started a second company and I've been doing more freelance consulting work as well. So I've been doing this a lot of like taking stock. And I've been doing this for years, so I don't tend to write down as much of what I'm doing in the day, but I will take my phone out, pull out my notes, and I will type out down things that like I definitely could be doing something different than this thing.
Yeah,
Right?
you're looking
I
at it
don't
and
need to watch,
re-examining and
right? I don't
reevaluating.
need to watch this episode of Law and Order. I
Sure.
know how these turn out, right? And my two hobbies that I've kind of added to the list, one is astronomy, and then the other is I mentioned before, the grilling. And these things take time and they take prep time, and especially with grilling, like it's like, okay, a couple days out, I gotta figure out what it is I'm gonna grill this weekend. Then I gotta go get it, right? If we don't have it, then I want to prep it. If there's a dry rub or something I want to make and count it, and I want that to sit for a day or two. Like it winds up going throughout the week. And then there are some things, because it's I've got a grill and a smoker, some things take all day long or even overnight. And it's great, because what I've found is that this is an activity that for me, my brain functions to through parts of it like when I'm exercising. So while I'm doing that, those things. And I've also changed up how I exercise. I mentioned a rowing machine, and I'm doing more biking. And now we're in the dead of winter, so I probably won't be doing a whole lot of biking.
But it
But it's like,
occupies your brain differently, right? Because I think
right,
about
exactly.
like.
That's the big key, is occupying your brain in different ways so that your brain is free to work the way your brain works. When you are driving the bus, right? When you're driving your brain, you're driving it the way you drive, right? But progress gets made when you let your brain go on autopilot, because your brain doesn't behave the way your conscious mind does, right? It will take different routes to get to places that your conscious brain wouldn't think about.
Right. Well, I think you're also, I think about, I had to do some toilet repair years ago, and I don't have a background in plumbing, and it was one of those things where it was, I got to take it apart and put it back together and reseat it and reseal it. You know, fairly basic in the grand scheme of life, you know, to it just breaking down the toilet, putting it back together. But it occupied my brain so much of I have to focus on this and just this thing and make sure I get it right, and I've never done this before. It's like doing anything for the first time. And that level of being focused, I think, is also super beneficial. That, you know, it makes me think about, well, if I'm sitting down and writing or trying to plot something out, you know, those moments of, hey, for the next hour, I've got to be focused on this. So a little bit of the opposite of what you're saying. I'm not letting, you know, I'm not doing that problem solving, but something that plumbing is no longer not a hobby. But I got a portable pizza oven for my birthday, and it's a certain kind of pizza oven, and it heats, you know, really hot, and you're only keeping the pizza in for about 40 to 90 seconds until your pizza's done. And I'm not a baker. I'm not somebody that's had a background in dough. My wife bakes a lot, so she, you know, is like able to throw the dough together without having to look, and here it is. And but for me, I've found that I really enjoy just the basic aspects of this really simple putting together a pizza, putting together the dough. Again, I've not put together dough. Some people, I'm sure, just can knock it out, but just trying to get the pizza quote unquote right to go in to figure out, you know, where my temperature's off to get the pizza to where I want it is so like it's the 30 minutes that I look forward to in cooking anymore. So similar to your grilling, it occupies my brain in a different way, and I come back energized and excited because I made pizza and it's really simple. But having not really done it before, but starting to learn more about how to treat the dough and how to move the dough and put it together, and then, you know, what to look for.
But you also just hit on something. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off.
No, that's it. I got pizza if anybody wants it.
Yeah. Sorry, pizza for everybody listening to the podcast.
Just
Just
drop
hit him
by.
up on Twitter.
Just
Yeah.
let me know.
But you hit on something else, which is progress. Like the fact that your pizza is done in 90 seconds is great. Like I keep a to-do list that never runs out, and it's got big things on it, and it's got some things that only take like a couple minutes maybe, right? And there are days when I'm like, man, I really need to get this big thing done, and I know it's going to take me hours, but I'm going to knock off a couple of those little things just so I feel like I've got forward momentum. And I used to think I was the only person that did this, and I don't know why I would think that, because I'm never the only person that does things. But I was emailing with not to name drop or whatever, but I was emailing with Brian Hitch the other day because he is working on two projects right now that I'm involved in, and he is working on them simultaneously, and one of them is due before the other one. And he sent me a couple of pages of pencils for the one that's due later, and the deadline is tight. So hopefully my editors aren't listening to this show. But I was like, well, why? You know, it's awesome. Like, I'm glad to see these, but why'd you do these? And he's like, because these other pages are so complicated that I had to feel like I was getting something done. So over the weekend, you know, he works like the Monday through Friday thing, but you know, from what I gather, like kind of over the weekend, he did two pages of this other project. The pencils, they're not fully finished pages, but he worked on these other, did the you know, all the thinking part, right, of these two pages, because he could, and he could do them relatively quickly because they were much more simple. You know, a single character, and the other one has like eight characters all punching and hitting each other all the time. You know, so it was one of those things I was like, I absolutely know why you did that, but it's so cool to see it done in art. Also, you sent me art. That's awesome. You know, but it was so interesting to get that insight, you know, into his mind and how aware he is. Because, you know, I know Brian got this reputation, you know, when he was working on Ultimates for being slow, but he really, really is not slow. And he's gotten so efficient now. And yeah, we wound up having this whole email back and forth about it. You know, that he knows how long it takes him to do these things, and he plans his work schedule accordingly. And yeah, like all this stuff is going to be fine. It's all going to get done on time. It's going to be great. It's going to look great. But for him, he will get the project due first done faster because he did those two pages, because he needed the win, right? He needed to feel that progress and build momentum for himself, and that's really important. So that was the other major thing I wanted to hit, was how to structure your to-do list, if you know, or checklist, or whatever it is you want to call it. But you want to structure these things, and you want to plan out, if you can, on your calendar, specific times for working on these things. Because if you don't make the time to do them, you won't.
Right.
Right? So if for you, like if you work, a 9-to-5 job, as many people do, you got to figure out when they're going to do. So the last really big thing, major key thing that helps a ton of people is, if you're doing writing or art and you want to make progress, you will likely convince yourself that what you need is to take a full week off to write the thing the way you want, or to draw the thing you want to do it. Stop right there. It may take you a week to do it, but you're never going to get a week off. Right? So the best thing you can do is get up earlier in the morning. Because we wind down at the end of the day, right? That's when we tend to sit down, we watch TV, we veg out, whatever. That's the cycle most people do, and then they go to bed. We are freshest, we are most alert, and we are at our peak of our mental powers in the morning. For me, it's after I take a shower. Until the shower hits, or a large dose of coffee or something, I'm no good. But once I'm up, my routine consists of having, getting up, taking the shower, and I walk the dog every morning. My dog is awesome, by the way. So walk my awesome dog, and then, during COVID, it's, make sure everybody's fed, all the other people are in my house. And so my workday has been starting later and later over the last 9 months, and I've gotten to a point now where I'm, I'll get up and I'll get work done before I take the dog for the walk. So I'll get up, I'll shower, so I'm alert, do 45 minutes of work, then the day hits and I'm going to bed earlier. But my wind down time is keyed into the rest of the family. So it's keyed into after dinner, we have some family time and whatever. And that tends to be the wind down time. Obviously, if I have a super deadline or something, I'll go back and I'll do work if I need to. But generally speaking, I try very hard to like have my family time at the end of the day. So my wind down time didn't starting earlier in the day, right? So that 45 minutes that I've worked in the morning now is just added time of me choosing what I want to do. Like it's not like work that feels like a haul. Right? It's something that I want to work on. I want to get this done. Then the rest of the day is all the stuff that has to get done. Right? And then the wind down time. But instead of going to sleep at 11:30 at night, now I'm going to sleep at 10:30 at night. Right? And but it works out. Like most of us put the wind down stuff, and we'll give ourselves 3-4 hours of wind down stuff at the end of the day, which is great. Everybody likes winding down, and I have fun. And for me, that's also time with the family, but my kids go to bed, and then that's fine. I can go to bed at that roughly the same time as my kids, and that's fine. But that has been this huge thing, because I mean, if you think about it, it's 45 minutes. It's not even a full hour for me, but it's 45 minutes Monday through Friday, and I've sometimes I do it on the weekends too, and that adds up to a lot of time. When you're fresh, you're alert, you've also exercised, so you know exactly what you want to write when you get to the keyboard, or you know exactly how you want to draw. You've already worked out the storytelling for your comic book page, and you can sit down and you can draw for 45 minutes straight, and you know exactly what you want to do and how to do it. Same thing with writing. You're going to get a lot done in that 45 minutes. When you put all of these things together, your efficiency is going to just skyrocket. And that means that if you start implementing these types of skills, that in 2021, because you're probably going to start doing this right now, in 2021, like you will get those projects up and running, and you'll get them moving. You may even get one finished. You never know.
And I think that you can take a lot of what people are dealing with in 2020, and I'm sure people have already adapted in so many ways. But for me, you know, a lot of what you're saying, the way you're articulating it, it's that, I don't know if it's a gravity, if it's a you started saying momentum. You know, I also, in addition to running, I work out with weights now, which I wasn't doing a year ago. That's my non-running day, and just, you know, basic hand weights and using different exercises that I actually get through. Runner's World does a great job of cycling through, showing different people doing different exercises for different body groups. So I'll mix those in with some other things. And what I realized early on when my work slowed down and my daughter was no longer able to go to pre-K was I was with my daughter full time. If I was going to exercise 9 times out of 10, it was going to be with my daughter. And, you know, trying to exercise with a 4 than 5 year old, it goes how you expect. You know, ten minutes in, it's, hey, I need popcorn, or, well, this is boring, or, why are you doing that? But the saving grace became, hey, you're going to watch cartoons anyway. When the clock starts on cartoons, that's when I'm going to work out. And, you know, to your greater point, my adaptation this year was a lot of, frankly, not my schedule, dealing with other people's schedules, which can be a lot of, you know, any kind of creative collaboration could also have that, or work for hire situation of, hey, you got to deliver this here and then, you know, having that ticking clock element, which, you know, unfortunately for a lot of people is living now. To your greater point of how your time changes and your priorities change when you start mapping everything out, you know, for me, there were just such hard physical, like, in your face, hey, you're not going to get this done unless you do it right now. And that's good for me. You know, I am that kind of learner that needs that sort of motivation. And I think, you know, you also alluded to, you've had to change things over time to make them work based on figuring out what they are, figuring out what works for you, and then your changing life situation. And, you know, I think back to about a decade or so ago where I really started to try to look at productivity for my writing and directing and producing video job, because that's, you know, time is money for clients and for running a company. And Getting Things Done was a book that I kept finding reference to, GTD, the Getting Things Done method, which I eventually read. And, you know, in reading that book, realized, like, not everything in this book is for me. Maybe 30% of everything in this book is for me. But wow, that 30% that I found was so valuable to be able to bring it over and put it onto my system that worked for me, for my life, for my way of thinking.
Yeah, that's a really good point. I mean, I've tried things that seemed great and will work for a little while, and sure, then, like, stop using them. But, like, you know, Paulo Rivera, the artist, like, he keeps his calendar, like, his digital calendar is like filled to the 15 minute.
Mm.
Right? And he knows exactly what he's doing every quarter hour of the day.
Wow.
For the entire week before his week starts. He's one of the most well organized people I know. He's also one of the most brilliant artists.
Sure.
But you know, he, like, showed me his calendar. Like, we had this long conversation about his calendar one day over at his apartment. I'm like, how do you do that? Like, you know, at the time I was working at Marvel, and, you know, my work calendar was on my work computer at the office and all that kind of stuff. And I was like, man, I don't do that. Like, I put on my calendar, like, a call I have to make, right? For the rest of the day, like, I just, like, and I just realized, you know, and we had this conversation. That was the first time I realized that freelancers have to be smarter.
Yeah.
Right. Editors have to be smart and organized. Freelancers have to be smarter and more organized. And it was this eye-opening thing. And so I tried that system. Once I went freelance, I tried that system for a while, and it didn't work for me. I modified it to something that did.
Right.
Right. Which is part of what we're talking about here. But yeah, I mean, the things that I'm talking about, and I'm talking about them in specifics, but don't be afraid to deviate into something that conforms to you. And your whole point about, you know, how you've had to change your schedule because you were with your daughter, you know, that's all part of this too. Like, not everything in your, I want to make sure I'm clear that I'm not saying that you need to make everybody around you conform to you.
No.
But you know, when I talk about things that like have to get done, yes, I am talking about some things with my job, right? Somebody signs up for a course, they need to get a notification that we got their money and they are in the class and this is how they're going to log in and blah, blah, blah. Like that needs to happen. My kids also need to be fed.
Sure.
I need to check in with them for school. If they have a problem at school, I need to deal with it, right? If I get an email from a teacher saying, hey, we haven't seen your child on Zoom for 4 days, I have to address that, or whatever it might be. I mean, fortunately, my kids are old enough and through hopefully some parenting, but also through a lot of the teachers and programs at school they've been through, they're fairly self-sufficient. They've actually been great through this pandemic. But that doesn't mean that stuff isn't coming up, right? I mean, there was something the other day where, you know, they were going for a bike ride, and one of the bikes didn't work, you know, just the chain came off and, you know, he didn't really know how to put it back on. So, okay, well, that just came up. Sure. It's 10:30 in the morning. Well, yeah, I'm in the middle of something. I'm going to stop. I'm going to go teach him how to, you know, put a chain back on the bike because yep. That needs to happen right now. And you need to learn how to do those things. And then, you know, come back in, wash my hands, get all the chain grease off of them, and then get back to work. And you know, part of it is just realizing that life intervenes, you know. Jurassic Park, they say life finds a way. Life finds a way to intervene.
Yes.
Interfere.
Yes, it does.
That's what life finds a way to do. And part of it is being malleable. But that's one of the reasons why having, you know, for me, it's my to-do list, right, is so helpful. Because I just got completely out of my zone, right, to go help with the bike chain. And I'm out there for maybe 20 minutes, maybe it's a full half hour or whatever. And then I come back and I'm like, okay, what was I doing? And I can look up at the list and be like, I was doing that. And I left off right here. And then I'm back quite quickly. And the other thing too, and I think this is important, it's a little bit dangerous, but I think it's important, is there are days where like it just ain't happening.
Right. Sure.
Right there, I've had that before where I'm like, yeah, I've got the time, I should be able to get this thing in a day early, and then that day just isn't the day, right? Maybe something kept me up at night and I tossed and turned all night, and it's just not there. And sometimes it is better to step away and just go do something else, and then
yep.
Come back later, or even the next day, if that's an option.
Come back later. Sometimes you got to grind it out.
Yeah, there are times when you have to grind it out. That has happened. It's one of the reasons. That's one of the reasons why I don't like doing projects on super tight deadlines. I will often turn down a project if it's super tight. On the other hand, a super tight deadline means I got to problem solve a lot, and it really engages my brain. So
sure.
I get kind of torn on those, but if it has a super tight deadline and I feel like it requires, you know, let's say it's write a story about characters I'm not particularly familiar with, that requires a lot of research, it requires a lot of thinking about what makes these characters tick, and then how can we pull those flavors out and all this sort of stuff, and that's a lot of mental work. And if I have to do all of that in 2 days and turn in a script, I can't have a day that it's not working, and then it is grinding it out just isn't that much fun.
Yeah, you don't have the percolation time, you don't have the problem solving time.
Yeah, and so, you know, there are certainly projects where I've said, like, I think you're probably, you know, with the time you have, you're probably better off finding somebody else, because I can't devote the attention it needs in that time due to, you know, it's usually due to other projects that are going.
Sure, sure.
And I think most, you know, people would rather hear that than hear me say yes and then grind something out that's not, you know, I mean, it should be professional level work, but it may not be my best work.
Yeah. And I, like you said, some days it's just not happening, and you try to build up enough time and momentum and skill and experience to to right. be able to deal with that when it shows up. I was reminded yesterday of an idea I had maybe 4 or 5 months ago for a script, and I didn't write it down. And I always have some, and it's poor methodology of trying to capture that idea, where I have it at least try to have an analog version of, even if it's just the log line of, hey, you think it's this thing. And I heard another writer talking about a project that was just set in the same time period. I was like, what was that idea that I had? And then I'd mentioned it to my wife because it was very, was something that I thought she might be interested in. Does this sound like a thing? And she said, oh, yeah, I really like that idea of yours. And I said, great. Can you tell me about it? And what was the plot? Because I had failed to capture it, because of course I was going to remember it, because it was a brilliant idea, Andy. It was going to be the script that I would get to noodle with and couldn't wait to show people, and then completely forgot about.
I have several projects that are like my dream projects, and I'm 44 years old and I haven't started on them. And some of them are like, that project is just too big for me to take on, like the amount of money it would take, it probably will never happen, and I can work on projects that will happen right now. You know, I've got a slate, like my slate is pretty much full, almost through the end of 2021, between work I have lined up already and creator own projects I want to do. Like if with what I have planned, with people that I'm planning on working with that we've already decided we're going to work together, like that's good. I don't need to start my very faithful adaptation of Richmond Lattimore's translation of Homer's The Iliad. I would love to start that, and I would love for it to be 24 oversized issues, one for each book of The Iliad. I would love to do this. This has been percolating in my brain since I was in college. I love the Iliad. I love Richmond Lattimore's translation, the best of the three translations I have read. And yeah, I'd love to do that. Guess what? It's not in the cards for right now. And it's not even in the cards. Like it's that thing that I make the list and it drops off the list. There are just other things that are going to be priority over it, and that's fine. And I'll probably never do it, and that'll be fine too, because the world doesn't need Andy Schmidt's version of The Iliad.
I do think we have our spinoff podcast, English Majors Like Different Things, and that you can certainly corner the market on that. You've talked about it before, and I would be very interested in reading it. No interest in going anywhere close to that. I think that's
well,
great.
You know, I'm doing a different, sort of similar project right now, and it's interesting because I went into it with a similar sort of idea of being like super faithful to all the stuff. But I'm doing a retelling of the King Arthur legend right now, and the idea was to be super faithful and use like the English, or use something very similar to the English that would have been spoken at the time. At least use a lot of that correct vocabulary and use the right weapons and the type of armor that they would use. They did not have armor like in Excalibur at that time. I had all these like aspirations, and I'm working with these two fantastic consultants. One's an Arthurian legend expert, and one is a historical expert. Knows all the things that were, all the weapons were used, all the tools were used, all the things that people use in those times. We've had these long conversations about, like how, they got, in Britain that they got the metal and how, it came from peat, and they had to like walk around these swamps. Like there's all this great stuff. It's probably never going to wind up in the book, but phenomenal, fascinating stuff. And then at the end of the day, when I wrote the script for the first 20-page chapter, I wrote it in modern English because I wanted – that was the way to capture, what they were doing, to give to the artist, to give to Andreas so that he knew, it was very intuitive, like, what are they feeling right now? Whereas if it was written in this, stark thing that was kind of hard to read, like it would be difficult, more difficult for the artist, I think. And both of the consultants and Andrea and a couple other people, friends of mine that I just have kind of read the stuff just to gut check it, all said they prefer the modern, like the fact that it's modern English, just really didn't bother them, and they found it fairly charming and refreshing, right? And it made it feel less, I guess, it just was enjoyable to read that way. So, I mean, I still did a revision on it because I wasn't intended to stay that way. But it was one of those interesting things. Like, that is so not what the intent was, but I think it was the right call.
Right.
And that, I imagine that type of thing might happen Really? And it's a funny thing too, because it actually saves me a ton of work to not be translating it into this, into old English, so to speak. So anyway, we've been talking forever, and which is
Very,
always fun to
very
read.
productive.
Yeah, very productive show.
Very productive. Well, hopefully it has been. I think it's good to talk through how you get from A to B at any point, but especially with just the reevaluation of what's working and what's not and the ever-changing world you live in.
Yeah, and if you're interested in making 2021 the year you're making comics, feel free to go to the website, see if signing up for a course is right for you, or maybe the Creators Workshop. In January, I'm doing for workshop members. I'm doing a session. I'll do the recording of it, and then we're gonna have a discussion on sort of the new comics career with everything's going on with COVID and with some of the trends, or even before COVID, that COVID may have be accelerating currently. We're going to be talking a lot about what does a comics career look like now? What are the publishers thinking right now? We're going to get into that in January, and each month we'll have a new session and discussion like this. It may be about craft, maybe about different things, but that's something that we're kicking off with in January, and that might be a good time to sign up.
Yeah, go over to comicsexperience.com and see what is happening. Always on at the Creator Workshop. You can always find something going on in the forums as well.
And you can hit us up on Twitter at Joey Grow, right?
Nope, at Joey G.
At Joey G, dang it.
If you go back in time and look and see when at Joey was taken, it was 7 months later. That's how smart I was about social media. 7 months later, and you are Comics Experience is on Twitter at Comic Experience, but you are also on Twitter as Andy
Yes,
Schmidt.
as of just like 2 weeks ago. So please come follow me, and you can tweet us questions. And it's not at Andy Schmidt. Nice try. That's been taken for years. It's at 39A Andy. So there's two A's in the middle. It's 39AANDY. And right now on Twitter, like I'm talking a fair amount about my DC projects that are coming up, Generations Shattered and Generations Forged and Crime Syndicate. Also talk a little bit about astronomy and grilling and things like that. But you can hit me up for a question for the podcast there as well. So feel free.
Yeah, there's a lot of good discussion going that are already, and you mentioned your comics that are coming out through DC in the new year, which everybody should check out. I'm especially interested in Crime Syndicate, which seems like a great miniseries to jump onto.
Yeah, should be fun.
The conjunction is happening as we're recording this, and I'm just saying I have not seen anything because it's real cloudy, and I am not pleased.
Well, it is I mean, it's been going on for like a week.
I should say
Tonight
this is
is the peak
I
night.
should say
Tonight is
this
the
is the
peak night.
peak.
Yeah, this is the peak night, and I was able to see it for the first time last night, and then I was able to see it again tonight. But like,
Nice.
I got a brother in Chicago, can't see it. My in-laws in New York can't see it. And everybody's like calling me today, and I'm like, why are you guys calling me today? Why is everybody calling me today? I'm like, oh, right, yeah, today's the actual day that
Yep,
I, you know. And I just, because I've been, waiting for it and trying to see it, and finally I saw it last night, I'd kind of forgotten that the way it's being reported in a lot of places makes it sound like it's only
It's only
happening December
tonight.
21st. Yeah, it's not. You can still see it tomorrow. You can see it. You're gonna be able to see it several days from now. It was great tonight. I went out just with binoculars because my kids aren't really into the astronomy stuff, and I have my binoculars, and they're like, "Oh, that's cool. I can see it." You're showing your binoculars are kind of shaky, so I brought my telescope out, which I can set up real quickly, and then when they looked through the telescope, and they could see the stripes on Jupiter, and they could clearly see the rings in Saturn, like with the space between like the ring and the planet on both sides, like that was like a great moment for me because it's something I really am passionate about, and it was really great to see my kids and my wife actually, like, all three of them looked through the telescope, and they were like, "Whoa, like that's awesome." But yeah, it's super cool. It hasn't happened for like 800 years.
You just between now, if you don't get it, just wait another 800 and it'll come around again.
Actually, it'll come around again in like 40 years, but yeah, it's been 800 since the last time birthday was close.
I'll just wait 40 then. I'll see you then.
But last January, I don't know if you remember this. This I don't think this got quite as widely reported. But last January January of 2020, we had Mercury go transverse. I'm getting the terminology wrong now. In front of the sun,
right?
Which was super cool. You know, you have to, if you're going to look at the sun, don't. That's my advice. Don't look at the sun.
That's astronomy 101, I think.
If you've got a telescope, there's a solar filter you can put on the end of it, so it, you know, it soaks up like 99.9% of the light that's coming in. It was so cool to see. You could actually like make out Mercury, because you can't really like see Mercury really, because it's so close to the sun. You can't really see it usually, not very easily. And so, yeah, that was like the coolest. That was the coolest. You know, so I got some cool photos of that. I have not gotten photos of this, but it's because the rig on my telescope doesn't broke, so I'm not getting good photos anymore. But my friend that I was out with last night, social distance and masked up, he's taking photos, and I'm just gonna co-opt his.
I think that's a good way to do it. That's
yeah. I saw it. That's what
coast off that, and then you can turn it into a script. It's a new miniseries. Bada bing, bada boom. Email info@comicsexperience.com if you'd like to hear something talked about on the show. This episode is going to be released before the end of the year. Hope everybody has a good New Year's, and looking forward to 2021 and you're making comics. And until then, keep on making comics.